Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
I'm Kristen, and today we are continuing our discussion on our astral actions and the impact they have on the physical planes, conducting psychic readings. Here today on the air, our call-in number 914-338-0164, and we invite you to, when you call, press 1, so we know that that you'd like to speak with us. We also invite you to join us on Blog Talk Radio. You may follow us here. You may also join us on Facebook and on Twitter. We appreciate your support on those pages, Neil Baker Psychic and Neil and Kristen Baker. You may like and follow us on each of those. And the number to call after the show, 562-596-7818. So we're going to talk first today, Neil. Let's talk.
Yeah. Regarding the astral realm and how the elements of the astral realm can manifest into our physical world.
Right, exactly.
You know, we really don't consider that. We consider that most of the time we manifest energy from our minds, our will, things like that.
Which on some level, manifest from our will. Right, that's part of the way we execute. But there is content from the astral realm that we're accessing with our minds.
Yeah, the mind can be a unit in and of itself, and it can generate thoughts and ideas, and it helps us maneuver through life, and we can even manifest certain things on the planet in our lives through the process of our brain and our willpower. However, the mind itself is also tucked between the physicality of the world and the more of the etheric realm, the spiritual realm, the astral realm. And when we manage something from the astral realm, usually what we're trying to manifest is something that is basically beyond our control. There are certain things that we think we can manage, but most of us do not seek help from the astral world to perform simple tasks. Unless out of frustration, we might say something like, oh God, help me through this. But we don't really focus or meditate on the smaller things. Maybe some of us do, but for the most part, we seem to go out of our bodies when something of a major dimension, of something of major consequence is going on. Then we seem to lift ourselves out of our bodies as though there is something above us that can give us help. Whether that's angels or God or whatever it may be, the forces that are up there, that's what we're trying to manifest. Now, in the astral realm, there are certain elements, energy forms, if you will, as well as entities that can help us manifest our what we're trying to seek or accomplish. Although we are trying to separate elements of
desire from spirituality.
From spirituality.
Yeah.
Desire are things we want, we really want, and we feel we need. Spirituality would be trying to manifest aspects of our spiritual life into our walk, which would be a whole different matter. It doesn't usually consider the fact that we're trying to gain things. Spirituality is not about gaining things, but physicality is, of course. So in that regard, when we go to the astral realm, there are certain if you will, layers of energy.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I just want to mention that also in the astral realm, the content of our past life. I mean, obviously in our souls carry that as well. But I mean, there's all kinds of things that can be manifested unbeknownst to us. So you can actually reawaken a past life, for instance, in a negative or a positive way and have it impact your physical
existence. You know, sometimes you have to think of the astral realm as, like, some of us have collection of records or movies on DVDs, things like that. The astral realm is a collection of our past lives.
Are you okay? You're hoarse.
Yeah. The astral realm is a collection of our past lives.
Nope.
We can go to the astral realm and pull out scenes, if not the entirety of a past life energy, and we can view it. Oftentimes we get that in dreams,
right,
as we manifest aspects of the astral realm into our dreamlike subconsciousness, and we see glimpses of it. Other times we actually venture into a past life by going into the astral realm and viewing where we have been or who we have been in previous lifetimes. So there is a kind of backlog, a library of past lives that hover around us at any given time in our lives that we can have access to and actually see and manifest in our life. If there is, in fact, you know, if you have a past life where you were somewhat heroic and had a really strong energy field of a kind of a substance of energy, and you need that again, you can tap into that past life and derive that energy from it and manifest it into your physical life. If, in fact, you're certain you had a past life as a knight or as a soldier or some valiant person that did some great deed, you can bring that energy back into your life and manifest it, even in terms of great conflict.
Isn't it true, though, that some of the characteristics that we had in past lives will either be prevalent in this lifetime or they'll be absolutely absent from the life? So, for instance, someone who needs to draw upon a reservoir of strength, like, you know, a past life knight energy, may be someone who's somewhat cowardly in this life. I mean, you can have kind of a dichotomy of energy.
Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely true. We do sometimes tend to have such a variety of past lives that we can utilize resources of one lifetime in order to build upon the life we're in, because we don't lose those points, so to speak. We still have that energy available to us. We're down here to fulfill some aspect of karma, but that doesn't mean that as we concentrate on our life karma, which ultimately leads to our life mission, we can't pull out of that energies that we have experienced in other past lives that are around us, so to speak, and somewhat available to us. So in that regard, yes, there is a way we can actually face ourselves in a past life sense by going to the astral realm and drawing on the energies and the powers that we once experienced in the past life.
Okay, and so there's also, as we were saying earlier, communication with higher entities, spirits, angels, that can assist us in our earthly walk.
Yeah.
And most importantly, on a spiritual level, not just about access or manifesting what we want. Hopefully, we can draw upon those entities, those higher entities of the astral realm, and enrich our spiritual walk on the planet.
Yeah,
That's the most important thing to do.
We just did a reading from Italy that was based solely on past life content, and it helped the client to understand exactly why they were going through the experiences they were in Italy and what the past life connection was all about. So it was rather fascinating. And it also helps to explain the artistic person that this individual was, as well
is.
As
what, or what, and was in the past life and is,
and
in
is
this life.
Now to explain what was going on, and that this person happened to have a situation where they're in a very, very beautiful place in Italy that they had obtained, they purchased, and where that actually in a past life,
life
lived
was
there
right. There's energy.
So
on
you
that
can
land.
Be haunted by your own ghosts, by your own spirits. Sometimes we think we're being haunted by a ghost when actually it's our very own energy that is confronting us from a past life sense. It's almost like a mirror reflection. Very interesting.
Right. Okay. Do you want to take a caller?
Sure.
Okay. 216. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi. Who's
Hi,
this?
My name is my name is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Do you want my date of birth or do you need that?
We do. Sharon, Sharon, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What's your birth date, Sharon? Yes.
September 1st,
1965. Okay. 314. Gosh, we've been talking to a lot of 314s on the radio. Have we spoken with you before, Sharon?
A lot of what? 30, gosh, it was a while ago. 6 months,
yeah.
Maybe. It's been a while.
Okay, yeah. I thought you were familiar, but I didn't remember any details.
That's okay.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, my question is, I am working on trying to change careers. I'm not trying. I will. How's that?
Uh-huh.
And if you see this if you see this coming up in the future, am I going to land a new job, career?
Okay, and are you currently working in your previous career? I mean,
I absolutely, I have a job, yes. In fact, I took a half a day out. I just left because I have an interview today in an hour. So I was just wondering what he sees with that.
First of all, Sharon, I want to ask you another question before we get there.
Sure.
What is your connection to real estate? Any story you can share with us regarding real estate?
Well, you know, that's always been part of a little dabbing in all my jobs because I've always done investments in finance and banking. So, yeah, a client may want some type of real estate. We help do, you know, help with the paperwork.
Okay. So in your investments and financing, real estate often comes up as a topic, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what's, you know, I don't recall what you did, so I'm not basing it on that. I'm just getting the energy field of real estate. So that is an indication that I would say if we're getting to 100% about this career change being positive, we've already jumped 60% there. Just
sure,
by that simple
I'm
validation.
Six.
Huh?
You said I'm six of a tenth there, you said?
60%.
60%.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
60.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're having a hard time hearing you, too. I don't know if you're on a headset, but if you could talk right into the phone, it would be better. Rather than on a headset.
There we go. Sorry about that.
No, it's
That's
okay.
By getting that validation, it simply is a translation of sorts that says positive validation, and that kind of stands in the place of giving you a confirmation that this career change is about 60% complete. We're a little bit behind, you know, it's not 100 yet because, when we have, you know, that's about 40% left over. So there's a number four actually going on in your address. Is there any number four that you can see standing out anywhere in your life?
A four anywhere. Not in any of the addresses that I've had.
How many years have you been at your current job?
Five.
Five?
That's.
So I don't know. It could be the four zone in there. Yeah.
Okay.
Was she trying to do? Did she tell us that?
No, she hasn't shared that yet.
What are you trying to do? What is she doing?
I'm trying to change careers, and I just wondered when you saw me, landed.
Right, but what
job.
That's not, yeah, that wasn't the question. I know we know you're trying to change careers. What type of career are you changing in trying to change
in? I want to go more into like human resources or more at a college or school or healthcare instead of banking. I'm trying
instead
to get
of
out
banking.
Of there. Yeah,
okay.
Out of the banking.
College
and are
or
you
healthcare?
Are you looking to do the same type of work? I mean, because
yes,
you can
exactly.
So
yes, I do office. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So how long have you been in this field? 4 years, 5 years in your last job. How long have you been in the field of banking?
I'd say probably 20. 15,
years.
20.
Oh, okay.
At most.
Okay, got it. So what's happened is you've been at this job, listen to me carefully, you've been at this job for 5 years, and you've been in this role of banking for 20, and your master number is 4. So 4 into 20 is another 5, which is now giving me the indication that you're going to be making this change into the college healthcare field. And there's probably going to be a smooth transition. Now, granted, you're 51, so you've gone 20 years. In other words, you've gone 20 years since you were 31 karmic age, and that was about when you started banking at
right,
31.
Right, because she's turning 52 this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
So 20 years ago, when you started banking, that was your karmic energy field, Sharon. You've done enough now. This universe says, okay, you're done. So we're making a prediction that basically you're probably going to be going into the college, college energy and the healthcare. In fact, the college energy might have something to do with the 4.
Huh, okay.
So the number 4 might also have something to do with college. Is it a university
okay.
level?
Yes, it would be university, like office manager stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm right now. RSTU. Right now, the university, the that energy seems to be the one that might be you're more inclined to be successful with at the moment. So I would, you know, are there in your area, where are you calling from?
Ohio.
Are there, to your knowledge, are there 4 universities in your area that you could choose from?
Yeah, more like 6.
Okay.
Within like an hour's drive.
Uh-huh. It's going to be narrowed, this 4, it may be narrowed down to 4 energies there, Sharon, 4 university levels.
Okay.
And the one that has the letter B in it, the letter B, might be the one that will have the most power for you, if there is a letter B in any of the university's settings.
Okay.
Okay, Sharon, hopefully that helps.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's bring on 520.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you? Who's this?
My name's Christina.
Christina, with is that C or with a K?
With a C.
C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A. And if you could talk right into your phone, that would be great.
Okay. I was just saying, anything you get for me. Did you need my birthday?
Yes, please. And where are you calling from?
Okay, I'm calling from Arizona, and my birthday is 4/22/66.
Okay.
That 4 is coming in.
18. I know, it's weird. 4, 8, 18, 30 equals 3. That's what I wrote down 3, Christina, before you gave us your birth date, and actually 3 is your master number.
Wow.
Yeah, so let us see. You are 49, no, 40, 51. 51 years old.
Yeah. What?
51. I was going the wrong way in terms of my addition.
Yeah.
So sorry about that. So, Christina, what happened in 1996? Can you go back there when you were 30 years old?
Yes. My father passed away.
Father passed away. Okay. All righty. And she's 51, which is, she's in her, what's her, what cycle is she in?
Oh, she's,
16th,
she's, up, she's 17 cycles.
Yeah, that's right. 17 cycles. That's right. 17th cycle of the master number three. So.
Well, Christina, first of all, I don't know. Well, let's figure this out for a minute, because I'm getting some children. I'm getting younger people around you. First of all, I'm asking a question, not making a psychic prediction or anything, but do you have any children around you, or are you a mother, or are you an aunt?
I'm a mother, and I have three children.
Which is your master number. So you have three children, you are a master number three. Isn't that funny?
Wow, that's crazy. I have two adult children and one, you know, that's 16.
Oh, okay.
Is one of your children, are they married?
No.
No marriage.
No marriage, so, no grandchildren.
So the 16-year-old is the one living with you?
Yes, it's a girl.
Yeah, I haven't mentioned the sex yet. Just the 16-year-old is the one living with you, and it's a female.
Mm-hmm.
The read right now seems to be around that child. I don't know yet what it means, but right now the read is around that child. Have you are there any teachers in your family? Anyone that ever did any kind of teaching?
No.
Is your daughter having any trouble at all in school?
She'd be junior. She a junior in high school?
She's a sophomore, and for now she's doing great. She's in an IB program. She works a part time job, like a quick store, and then she volunteers at a hospital. So for now, she's doing good. But I mean, if there's anything I can help her with,
What's her birthday?
My daughter's birthday?
Yes.
3/18/2001.
So she's like an early birthday. So she's 15 for most of the year. She was 15 for the most of the year that she was a sophomore, but then she turned 16. That's why I got the
correct.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Volunteer work. Does she work with? What does she do in the volunteer department, Christina?
Okay, she works in the information desk, and she was working. She did do just recently 2 weekends at the gift shop, but she didn't like that because somebody was stealing. So she got out of there and went back to the front desk.
And
she had a change in 15, which was 15, in 2016.
2016. Yeah, she would have had a change recently. You know, right now my focus seems to be a connection between her. It seems like she's going pretty well, and she's doing okay there. But there's what's her lifetime?
Okay, I'm sorry. There is an airplane going over my home, so you were breaking.
What's her lifetime goal? Does she have one yet?
Yes. Her lifetime goal right now is she wants to go to college, and we live in Arizona, so she wants to go to ASU, and we're in Tucson, so that's like about 2 hours away from here. So her goal is to go there, and she's wanting to get into the medical field, but not sure which direction to go.
And she's been working in the hospital. She was, mm-hmm. right?
No, she
wants
still
to.
Is.
She still is.
Yes.
She wants to get into the administrative part of the medical field or more medical?
More medical. She was more medical. She was thinking a psychiatrist.
Oh, okay. Okay, now something
now
makes
that's
sense
why
to me because
the trouble.
I think your daughter is going to be very successful if she ventures into psychiatry. She's going to be. I think her goal. She's going to help people.
So is that why you were picking up the troubling aspect? Because the field she's going into, obviously, you're helping people that are troubled in psychiatry.
Yeah, and the teaching aspect. A very good psychologist is also a good mentor. So there's something involved in that. And I think she's probably derived a lot of good energy from you. So you've, Christina, have laid a good foundation for her and good resources in that respect. And I think you're going to be very pleased with the way your daughter, if she can follow through and carry through on this, it's going to be a very pleasing thing. But I also sense something gap. There's a gap seems to be in your energy. And I'm not sure what this is. Are you currently, are you single or married?
I'm married.
Does your husband travel or anything? Is there any demanding aspect of him having to have an absence at times?
No, I mean, just the norm, like he's gone from, just the 8 hours.
Well, you know, maybe is there anything troubling your husband? Is there anything of any certain durate of any concentration where she's troubled with something?
Yes, we have. Well, like I told you, we have three children. We've been married 30 years. Well, it would be 30 years in December. And
30.
Yeah.
And 30 years
and
is your karmic number, Christina.
That's
go
so
ahead.
Great. So we got three children and two are. The two older ones are boys, and our middle child, which is like 25, he's been struggling with drugs and alcohol. He had been clean for 2 years, and then now he just recently started drinking again. We're trying to pull him off of it. He's not real bad on it again, but it's going back to the same pattern. So he just bought a home, and it's a fixer-up. So we've been helping him fix up his home. And just praying to God and hoping that, he'll change his direction of drinking because drinking leads him back to the path he was.
What's his birth date, Christina?
Okay, his is 8/22/91. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
91, you said?
9, 10, 11, yeah.
32. He's a 32 equals 5, and he's 25 years old.
Yeah.
You know,
which is his fifth. He's on his fifth. So he's in a transition too, because he's on his fifth cycle of five, and so he's buying a house, which is significant energy going on at his, at that transitional point of 25 years old.
I guess we're coming up with the idea that there's some troubling aspect around him. So as he's got a real dichotomy going on, because as he advances forward in the home and there's a great amount of responsibility he's going to have, something in this man's energy has not been exercised yet. He hasn't gotten past the trial and tribulation of facing his psyche and getting through this. So it still seems to be there in such a way that it can ultimately command his life and possibly overwhelm him. So there's something in there that's triggering a problem. Do you recall around the age of 8 or 9 in this young man's life, anything around that age, about 3rd or 4th grade, that you can identify or recall that was traumatic or dramatic for him?
I'm trying to remember. I think now that I'm going back in time, I'm thinking, like when you asked me when I was 30 and I told you my father passed away, I also didn't mention that me and my husband were in a little separation at that time. We never got a divorce.
So separated at age 30?
So that's the gap that I was tapping into.
Okay, and now you brought it to my, what's that? I said, I'm sorry. I don't know why I didn't recall that until I started thinking and thinking.
Whatever you're doing right now in terms of talking into your receiver is working well, because we've been having a hard time hearing you. So keep in that position, Christina. Anyway, go ahead,
okay.
Neil. Sorry.
You know, that's what I was picking up on.
Yeah.
It just didn't occur to you because it wasn't a current time. But now that we've identified it, now that's what I was feeling. And around that time, your son was affected, you know, in his mind and body and soul, he was affected by that separation.
And I just want to point out that at that time, her son was age 5, which is his master number. It was 1996 when you were separated. He was born in 1991. So that, again, resonates with the system, the number system.
Yeah.
He's 5 years old. Okay. So it's a little short of the 8 that you were talking about, but there was a separation. So I'm just pointing that out.
You know, we've moved past that time, but my assessment is that at that point your son developed a change in his behavior that ultimately led to drinking and drugs and things like that. That it doesn't have to be there, but I don't know if it's been fully dismantled. There's still something uncertain about his energy. So the drugs and the alcohol, actually, if we go into the psyche, it stems from an attitude of fear and insecurity, I think, in his regard. Not that he is a fearful human being or insecure on the surface, but I think somewhere in the emotional development of this young person at that time, it caused a problem, because the father was probably not there and the son needed the security of that place with his father, and maybe he wasn't there or his father couldn't give him everything he could. Would that have been your experience in looking back?
Yes.
I think she said yes.
Is there anything I can do to help him now? Like any words or guidance I could give him?
It sounds like they're supportive, you know, they're helping him with his acquisition of a home and all that.
Yeah,
but
I mean, that can help. Did he ever go through any kind of counseling throughout his life?
See, he got real bad into it. Like I tell you, he was clean for 2 years. So, he really got bad he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't sleep. He was on heavy drugs, meth. So now he was clean for 2 years, doing so good. And then all of a sudden he ended up going back. I don't know what parts of drugs he's doing, but I know he's drinking for sure. He's not living with me anymore, so I haven't really, don't know what he's doing. And I mean, he doesn't live far from us, so.
Yeah, but my question is, did he go through any kind of therapy as a teenager?
No.
Has he gone through any therapy? Did he go to rehab?
Yeah, well, he went through the court appointed him and made him go to some classes, because he did domestic violence. So he ended up going to an AA and domestic violence, how to handle his anger and rage.
Right, but so more of a group setting than an individualized therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that sometimes I think misses, to be honest. I mean, they say that for drug and alcohol rehabilitation that, you know, groups are the best. But if there is an underlying issue, then you know, one-on-one therapy is definitely, I think,
necessary. Yeah, I mean,
necessary.
That could help. As parents, being supportive can help. I don't know if that comes from your heart and your just idea of being a parent and being there and giving him the support he needs. I don't know if that's going to absolutely address the problem that I feel this man still carries somewhere inside of him. That is, I think, is a job. Maybe when your daughter's older, she would have been able to help him. But there's something there that's disturbing me. Did father have anger issues too?
Yes.
So, you know, we get into the idea, it's a no-brainer, that he's emulating and modeling the father because in desperation he wants to be like dad. And so he makes up for that. He compensates for the distance by trying to formulate in his mind what a father should be like. Unfortunately, in his emotional journey getting there, he incorporated a lot of father's traits, but really they don't belong to him. I mean, he learned to make them belong. But I think inside he's really a good, sensitive man, a caring person, probably would, if somebody was on the road hurt, he would stop his car and help them. He's not a mean person. I think inside he really means well. And so there's something that's getting in the way. It's almost like having a rock in your shoe and you can't walk right. But if you take it out, you're fine. So the problem is the rock in the shoe. I don't think it's a problem that can't be removed. I think it can be. But I just don't know if the parents can do it. I don't even know if a therapist could do it.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
maybe,
you have to find a great therapist, which is challenging.
To find a good one.
Well,
I
have been praying and praying for God to find a way to, through my dreams, through any way, to guide me away to him. But I just, I'm just like kind of lost and thinking,
well,
what
Christina,
can I do?
Reaching out to that world in dreams, prayers, seeking guidance and help from angels and things. Yes, of course. And Chris and I will do that for you as well. So that what's he working at? What's his job?
He is landscaping because he chose not to finish school. He dropped out when he was 16.
Oh, he didn't finish high school?
No. My other two, my oldest son, he graduated high school. He went to college. And my daughter plans to go to college, but one decided no college, no banks. He doesn't believe in the bank. He has his own mindset.
Christina, does your son have issues with his customers, or he seems to be have a good rapport with his customers?
The landscaper, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, most of the time he gets along. But once in a while, he has issues. I think he has authority issues. Because it seems like anybody that's an authority with him, he will have an issue with him. And I try to tell him, you know, we all have authority over us, and that's something we have to learn. And when we learn to do that, then you get to be the authority one day. I said, but for now, you got to learn. And he doesn't like it.
Yeah. Well, he needs some proper management.
Is he buying this house on his own, or have you lent him money to do
that?
Well,
it is a mobile home, so he paid cash for it.
So he was able to save. So that's, I mean, the financial, at least on a financial level, there's some responsibility.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's fine. The prayer and seeking guidance is all fine. But I think that we're picking up that there's got to be something a little bit more practical and constructive in helping this man get through this period of life.
I just don't know how I could address it, how I could help him, because, I mean, he's 25. There's no legal way I can help him.
No.
And whatever suggestions mom gives him is like, oh, no, he just won't. And then my husband chooses to put on, let me see, how can I phrase it, like rose-colored glasses on and say, oh, everything's fine. I mean, he's stumbling around coming, you know, because he just moved out maybe a week ago. So, I mean, he was stumbling around coming home drunk, you know, and I'm like, with rose-colored glasses, without them, even blind, you can see that he's headed in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So it's a little struggle between me and my husband because he chooses not to look at it. And I'm like, let's help him. And my husband says, oh, he's fine. When I when I know in my heart I want him to be fine, but my head is like, look, he's not. I mean, the appearance of him is not looking good. You know,
right, but
tired.
You know, you don't want to enable him. One, it's probably good he's not living at home, because him coming home drunk to your home when you're the home, you know, that's your home. That shouldn't even be, you know, an acceptable behavior from someone who's living under your roof if that's not the standard that you're upholding in your home.
I do hold
setting
that.
Healthy
that's
boundaries.
My husband will argue. That's where me and my husband will come into argue, you know, disagreeing. I'm like, he shouldn't be here if that's the way he's going to be. And my husband's like, no, well, where is he supposed to be? You know, so I feel like we do enable him when he was living here. And now, like I said, he doesn't live too far away. Pardon me?
Christina, really quickly, the domestic violence episode, what was that? Real quickly, in 30 seconds, what was that about?
Okay, that was between him and his brother. His brother was at work, and he went to his work and disturbed him.
Huh. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's not, this isn't an easy, you're looking for an easy solution.
And
you know,
yeah,
what can I do?
There's more.
And it's not going to happen that way, Christina. It's a little bit more complex than that. I do believe that a possible girlfriend can sometimes temper men. A really nice, you know, really nice. Sometimes it happens. It's an old fashioned idea, but I'm somewhere in the line of action, I'm getting the name Cindy. So I don't know if in fact that name will ever appear, but I am getting that name.
Yeah. And you can always, you know, we have to move on to another caller, Christina, but you can always call our show again. You got a lot of time today. So that was good, because it's kind of a complex issue. We don't always.
Right. I really thank you for all this time, and I'm sorry to all the listeners who are listening.
Oh, no. We gave you the time. You don't need to apologize to anybody, because, you know, we had the time. So sometimes, you know, we're very busy on the show, and then we don't have this amount of time to offer callers, but we did today. So you needed a little bit more, and we're glad we were able to give it to you, and you're always welcome to utilize the show. And you can call also if you want to explore deeper, 562-596-7818. But we really appreciate it, Christina. And if you aren't already connected with us on Facebook, we invite you to do so. What were you going to say?
Okay, I was just going to say I thank you with all my heart for sharing your wisdom with me and taking all this time for me. And you guys have a blessed day and keep up the good work. And I'll pray for you too. And thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christina.
We really appreciate it, Christina. Take care.
Me as well. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let us bring on Cheryl. Cheryl, hi.
What a sweet caller. Hi.
Yeah, she was. Huh?
It's really weird as I'm listening. The first gal talked about real estate, and she's a master four like I am, and she's about the same age as me. So that was
Cheryl,
interesting.
Cheryl, you're a nine.
And then,
you're not a four.
Oh, I'm a nine? Okay. What is something four?
Huh?
There's another number. What do we have? Do we have just a master number, or do we have another?
You have a four on your transcendent side. So there is a four. You're right. It's actually the sum of your years is a 13 equals four. 1966 adds up to a four. But overall, you're actually a 36. That's your karmic number, and nine is your master number. So your life was an increment of nine. There was probably actually what happened at 36, Cheryl? I don't know if we've asked that. I'm sure we have, but.
Gosh, I don't know. I think it was 33. 36 was I don't know.
Something happened at 36. Most likely you may have had a change at 33. That may have happened.
Yeah,
but
I'd have to think about it.
Something, but you'd have to think. Okay, you don't have to do it now. But anyway, you're a nine.
So that's pretty cool. You know, and then the last caller's son's birthday is like right around my son, and they're having the year isn't, but it was, you know, hers is August 24th. Her son was August 22nd, and my son's August 21st. And my son, every 3 months, keeps slipping on me. It's like he's trying to prove, my son lies, like, all the time, and I'm trying to figure out how I can get him out of that. It's like he tells me he has no confidence, so he'll be on Xbox, and, you know, I could hear him, and I don't want to call him out on lies because I don't want him to, unless it's a lie that's important or family, but he'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm doing good at work, and I own 10% of the company, and he's talking to people, and I'm like, why does he feel like he needs to do that?
Which
you know,
son
and
is
can
this?
I break?
Is
it's
this the
Kevin.
One that,
yeah, August 21, 95.
95 is this the one that has the issues with like that you took to the doctor and was on medication.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a supervisor at his job now, but I was going up to Arizona for the weekend, and while I was doing the dishes, I said, you know what? He goes, I'm off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I thought to myself, oh, my God, and I already knew it, and nothing's happened, but it's like every 3 months. I mean, nothing happened at that time, so then he calls me the next day, and I'm getting ready to go out to the golf course, and he's like, well, I kind of got in this little accident. Then I come home and the front doors broke, and he said he broke his screen because he couldn't find his wallet. So he has like this anger stuff going on. And I said, then he'll say, you know, you could drug test me because I have like drug tests at home. And then I said, okay, because see, when they want you to do it, you don't want to do it. When they, you know, so he kind of plays
right,
with me that way. Go, okay, here's a cup. Yeah. Well, then I said, okay, I go, well, let's go ahead and do it then. He didn't think I would have him do it. Then he goes, no, I don't want to do it. And I go, see, you wait. You think that it exonerates you by saying, oh, I'll go ahead and do one. And
I
pull it out. Mm-hmm. Then he won't. So I just, he has no confidence, but at work, he's a supervisor. He tells everyone on the line that does the, you know, the bottles and does this stuff. It's a vape company, you know, put this away, put your cell phones away. And he's really good at leadership, but then he doesn't have, like he lies and he'll tell me every few months, you know, I just have a total lying problem. And what I'm trying to tell him is just stop and think before you answer something. Is this worth telling anything other than the truth? You know,
Let me interject something, because you called last week about your daughter, who also you said has a problem with lying pathologically, sort of. And I don't
She's like mental. Yeah, she will destroy you. She will walk over your dead body. I mean, she will like, yeah, she's like, I don't think she has any sympathy. Unlike Kevin, he came into my room. He goes, I found a bunch of old birthday cards. And he goes, I was crying. He's very empathic.
Sensitive,
he's compassionate.
But they both have a lie. But they both have a problem with honesty, which is interesting.
Yeah.
How about your other kids? Are they honest or not?
Yeah. Actually, they are. One's like overly honest, like with every little thing. And what's weird, when I raised him, it's the only thing, I don't like the word hate, but I hate liars. I don't like people. It better be life or death for you to lie, because you're only lying to yourself, because you got to keep up with your story. So I've raised him actually to hate lying. Okay. I don't like it. It doesn't do anything beneficial for anybody. So yes, the other two are honest. I mean, you know, Bennett's only 14, but and the other one is brutal. They're honest. It's the way that I raised them, and the other two aren't. But to a fault, an extreme.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. We've talked to her about her son before, Neil.
But what's her?
Well, I mean, we kind of, yeah, what's your question? Are you asking?
August 21, 95.
Huh?
Oh, he's at August 21, 95.
Right, but what's your? I have that. What's your question specifically?
Well, I mean, have you ever seen where people just go? It's like a biorhythm. Do you remember back in the day, biorhythm was big. It's like every 3 months, so they just go straight down. He's either really high or his lows are really low. And I'm saying I'd like you just in the middle if I had to choose.
What's his diagnosis from like physicians or psychiatrists?
Just the seizures, really. I mean, when I had him like evaluated, it was like maybe a little ADHD. Okay, he loses absolutely everything. And then when he got the seizure thing, he says, I know it was because the pills that I took, you know, for a year. And not the pill, I mean, pills he was buying that he took.
What was he taking,
said,
like Adderall or something?
It could have been that. Adderall and I think so, clonazepam and things like that. So the other day I looked at him, I go, I could tell that you've taken something. He goes, well, I had to make sales calls and I'm nervous. And I said, I don't know what's going on, because I'm going to start texting a few of his friends and just say they're not welcome at my house, because Kevin's the one who ends up in ER. Kevin's the one who totals his car, you know, and Kevin's the one who ends up with seizures. None of these kids have it. So he's hypersensitive to just things. And I don't want anyone, you know.
Isn't one of your kids, did you say autistic? I feel like you said autistic before.
Yeah, Bennett. Yeah, my youngest one is.
The youngest is autistic.
Very high function, though. He could talk. He'll talk your ear off. So it's just the transitioning, anxiety with transitioning is the biggest thing.
Okay, so you have Kevin, Bennett, Amber. What's your other kid's name?
Shauna,
okay. All right. I'm writing down birth dates. What's Shauna's birth date, real quick?
And she's a October 23, 1990.
And Amber?
2586.
I'm sorry. I know we've gotten these before, but what is it?
Oh, 2586.
2586. I remember 2-5. And Bennett?
And he's August 29th, 02.
Okay. Well, in the remaining minutes we have, we've got to figure out how to solve this problem.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I always thought.
You know, biorhythms, yeah, a lot of it, the biorhythms of brain chemistry, the element of who we are as a person and our mood shifts that are related to our body foundations, yeah, all that kind of apply. I don't know, you know, you seem to be kind of more involved at the moment with your son, Kevin, and trying to figure out how to maybe regulate his energy. It sometimes it's just hard, Cheryl, to maintain that specific balance in people, and you try your best. It's a constant, it's a constant approach. I don't think it's like a lot of us, we just say, well, he's doing okay, so we'll kind of back off now until we get to the next explosion. And then we start, and then from looking at that historically, we begin to understand that there's a pattern. But I think that the idea is that the maintenance of a good, well-balanced person has to be kept every day and processed every day until it is finally ingrained and internalized within the psyche itself. So to me, it's a daily thing. If your son has these ups and lows and he's okay and then he goes off, to me, it's a management problem too. And there might be some form of neglect. In fact, part of his problem may be due to the impact of neglect, maybe from father figure. But
yeah, I asked him yesterday. It's the last time he talked to his dad. It's been 5 weeks. His dad lives 8 miles away. And I feel like I've been the mother and the father, the everything, because no grandparents. My mother's all into her own world. So it's like, yeah, without me, I don't think they have anybody but me. I mean, well, no, it's the truth. I mean, aunts or uncles, nothing. There's nothing.
They have you. They have you, and that's good. And this could be from the deeper effects of having a distance from his father that has just prompted Kevin to be in the zone. And it's part of his behavior. Sometimes you grow out of it, but nonetheless, I think that's where where we're pinpointing a lot of the problem is in the distance between father and son.
Oh, and Cheryl, we're getting our 90-second warning, so hopefully that helps you. But good luck.
Yeah, we'll talk about his impulsiveness next time, and I'll be on him all the time. I'll be more. Throughout, but thank you as always, both of you, and you have a super great weekend.
You
thank
too.
You.
Thank you too. Bye. Okay, we're out of time, Neil. So we are back on the air Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to our callers and our listeners. Bye.